harmless as doves, but wise as serpents. And I've commissioned you to take the scepter of my word and rule in a dark and weary land. And all things that come to you to snuff out the light is coming from a place that the enemy fears. Your ministry and your call and my place in your life to those who are going forward, he fears the word in you far greater than you can imagine. Why have all these things come upon me? And why does it seem that these things continue as I go forward? For surely there was a headwind set against you when you joined this particular army and this band of brothers and sisters. But know this, that my grace is far more than sufficient. For I've not called you to be those that would be weary in well-doing because of the trial. And I've not called you to live in infirmity for a testimony. But all these things and much more has come because the enemy despised the word inside of you. I heard the word of the Lord say that the thoughts of some would say, yes, but I had much to do with my own weakness and my own infirmities. But the Lord said the enemy took things and expedited them and breathed upon them and pushed them. And even now, things that were much more of a normal kind of setting in life, because of the walk of many who said, I'll go into your word. The serpent came with a vicious attack and still fights. But know this, that the harmlessness of the dove was not meant to speak of a weakness. But know this, there is a lion inside of the power of this dove that will raise up strong in behalf of those who stand in my word. And your latter end, says the Spirit of the Lord, is to walk systematically out of everything that the serpent has come to destroy you with, so that you stand in these last days full of health, past the evil report, standing in the fullness of everything that I said that you were. For I will have an army. I will have an army. My army that demonstrates miracles will also have walked in miracles of themselves, says the Spirit of the Lord. Yours is to impart that which you have. Such as I have, give I unto thee. Now is the time. Continue to move in. And for others, a word which would say, do not continue to procrastinate and say, soon I'll give more of myself. The soon is now. The soon is immediately. Do not wait for counsel. I need to talk to pastor. I need to talk to an elder. The time is now. The call is present. You have more than enough knowledge and information to make your stand. says the Spirit of grace. But I am a good God, as I have already said. And I will visit you. For everything that you give me, I'll give you more, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Barakorosote. Do not fear the evil report. Speak to it as if it is a personality. Speak directly to it and speak often to it in my name. And watch it as it continues to evaporate, to be extinguished, to cease and to desist. All things are possible. All things are possible to him that believes. To him that believes. To those who believe. Take my word and believe and watch the miracles manifest, says the Spirit of grace. Would you turn with me to Mark chapter 11? We're going to teach a little bit, maybe mostly exhort, I think, because we want to look at two portions of Scripture, one in Mark 11 and then Luke 11. Two 11s, two different chapters, both 11 in their particular book. And I don't want to teach so much as just exhort, maybe slash teach. Exhort being that we'll look more in a macro, there's a micro where you look real close. Sometimes you'll hang on every word, or for edification purposes and teaching, you'll really describe what one particular phrase or word means and then try to couple it with it, just line on line. And that's absolutely perfect and necessary, but this is more macro, where we're going to kind of, as we've often said before, kind of skip a stone across revelation knowledge for the purpose of looking at two particular places of faith in the individual's life. And I hope that you identify with both places of faith this morning, if you're listening, watching, if you're in here, because both are legitimate places. And it is not my assignment nor my desire to degenerate one and say one's less than the other. Both of them are perfect. And they'd have to be, because they both come from Jesus, and everything that he ever said or did is perfect. So, but we want to look at the service as far as what they serve in the life of the believer. And Mark 11 is a hallmark of scriptures of faith and the individual themselves speaking to the mountain. But what I'm not going to reiterate what we've taught on so many different times, and even recently, I think just before I left, we had kind of a word study out of Mark 11. And but we'll start in verse, let me see here. We'll start in verse 19. Actually, I think I went over this some the Sunday before I left, but it wasn't necessarily even for this purpose. But 19 says, "And when evening was come, he went out of the city, and in the morning," that's the next day, "they passed by, and they saw the fig tree dried up from the root." Well, Jesus had just previously, the day before, cursed the fig tree. And immediately we see that they were astonished and saw that the fig tree was dried up from the roots. "And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away." There's so many different spider or splinter routes that we could take, but we're going to stick to one. "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." Some translations would say this is the God kind of faith. "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain," and if you'll remember, and I'll just say this, and quick passing that we went through all these say and saith, and even the word say here is two different words throughout this whole this teaching of Jesus, and one is epo and one is lego, and they mean two different things, but it's very similar. One is just to speak, like I'm speaking to you now. The other one is to speak, as is to release a discourse of things. In other words, you're setting into action, you're spinning into existence a world of discourse in which something is going to transpire as a result. In other words, you're releasing, the world would call it energy. It's not energy, it's the Holy Ghost word in which we speak, and we, if we believe when we speak, and this goes all the way back to Genesis 1, how did God create the universe? He spoke it into existence. Now, in the same sense, we become little gods or empowered by God to speak our world into existence. So these say and saith, they're intertwined here, but you'll have to either guess yourself this morning or have listened to the previous message. That one is to speak and one is to, they're very close. One is to speak and one is to speak with an expectation of I'm releasing into the atmosphere or into my world or into my morning or into my day something that will begin to work the enzymes. I'm releasing powerful God-giving enzymes that are going to walk, they're going to work all day long. Angels are going to follow these words. Holy Ghost is going to interact with these words. And that could be a number of different ways or a number of different places. Every single Monday, just about, unless I'm interrupted by something else, this is my Speak to the Mountain morning. Now, I have other things that I do, but it's good for me, myself, to regulate myself. And you don't have to do this, but Monday is my day of spending time. I have my confessions on my phone, and I just scroll down in iCloud, find confessions, hit tap that, and I've got all my confessions there, and they're based on scripture. I have I've copied, pasted the Word document that Gary Carpenter did on finances, on healing. Man, listen, any of you women or men that are in business, you know, I would have that, and even if you don't do it every day, if you just did it on a Monday or Tuesday, bam, and it takes you 5-10 minutes to go through those, and you input in there your personal life or your business, and you speak using those I say, and it's all scriptural, and you put in there, and it works. It works, and you should have that, and you should have a certain day that you spend that amount of time, 15 minutes, saying those things. What you're doing is releasing God in front of you to work in your work week and go in front of you. So I have this, and I spend that amount of time. I've got several. Let me read this, and then I'll say what I'm going to say here. He says, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain," what mountain? Finances, physical, emotional, whatever, be that for us, in a general sense, our mountain is what? Revival, atmosphere. "Shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray," that's that Monday morning, or that's that Tuesday, or maybe 3 days a week, "believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father, which also in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." The last two verses that we're not teaching on, that's a side subject, but nevertheless, I'll put this in there, and it's so important, it's a pigtail on everything else, is that Jesus says, basically included this by telling us, this all works. You speaking and believing, it all works. Oh, but there's a virus that will eliminate this. Just like any computer virus will mess up everything. The virus is this. This all works, but the virus is this. If you have aught in your heart, it'll mess up speaking to the mountain. it'll mess that up. It'll skew that. It'll mess it up. It'll get in there and mess up the workings. So that's enough said on that. That's why it's so important to get rid of junk as soon as possible. If junk tries to invade your morning speaking, then go get a communion glass and a piece of bread and say, okay, I'm going to speak to the mountain, but before I speak to the mountain, so that this, I'll call it junk, which is an offense, like I'm still kind of angry about that. Still kind of, I can feel there's something inside of me that's still holding a little bit of that offense. Okay, so I'm going to take this, do communion, because communion, and then if you're in your communion, we'll pray over that person and not pray over like, God, get them. God, go get them. But if you say, Lord, bless them and help me to see what it is in me that needs to change, that's another subject. Take care of that. Then speaking of the mountain works. It begins to work, but it works in increments. It works in faith. And speaking of the mountain, as I said, it can be your finances. I could make a list and it still might not touch your world. It would. And listen, businesswoman, businessman, don't wait till you're having problems. You know, in the problem, speak. But after you've made a million or 2 million, just keep pouring it on. The problem with the church is once people start getting blessed, they back off. My problem is like if I start really doing a lot of cardio and then start watching my carbs and I drop 10 pounds, I get so excited about that, I celebrate and eat too much. And I'll just gain it right back. Don't celebrate your successes to the point that you stop doing what took you there. Keep speaking to the mountain. And 5 years after you've made your first million, keep speaking to the mountain like you're broke. For the purpose of kingdom, right? For the purpose of how much you're going to give into the harvest. So speaking to the mountain works. Whosoever shall say into this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, where if that's a Monday or Tuesday or just throughout your week, or it's over your children's life. I've got a, you know, if you had a rebellious child or a rebellious daughter or a son, you're speaking. And you may have multiple mountains. You may have 15 different. And that doesn't mean you have to speak every day. That's why it's good to have a consolidated time. You get it done and you don't. And if you have it in your phone, so I'll have like the, you know, Gary Carpenter's financial confessions. And then also the healing confessions. We've got those. They're back there, but you can go to his website, download those. We've got them on our website now as well. You can download those confessions and put them in a file in your iCloud, and bam, you've got them there. And you just go right down through them. Let's see, we've got, what else do I do? I do multiple things. It takes me about an hour because I do multiple things that I'm confessing and speaking to the mountain. Maybe it's an hour and 15 sometimes. It's according to how many cups of coffee I drink during that. No, but, and then Sarah, she developed one on emotions. And we've got that one back there, and I've got that one downloaded, and that's just about on the same format that Gary did his. And is anything wrong with your emotions? No, because I confess all the time. Hallelujah. And it's all about your emotions and sanity and blessings. And so all that is available to us in speaking to the mountain. And that's a legitimate faith. Why? Because we know that Jesus said, and it's the kind of faith also that if you're grown up, now this works best, and we don't have time to get into this morning, is that it works best for mature. The older you get, not as in age, but the much more mature you get, because when you're a baby, well, Gary did a message on thumb, it wasn't the title of the message, but he included part of it about the Corinthians being how infantile they were, and the word used there
for baby was those that were not yet able to even speak. And he said, not to try to demean them, but was trying to get over to us, thumb-sucking Christians that were just... But to get the point across to the thumb suckers that God loves so much, their relevance to speaking to the mountain will be much more founded in everything about them. I need a new house. I need a new car. And listen, let's not graduate past where we all should be. Everything is relevant. This works over every part of your life. If you do need, God knows we need sometimes. We need a change. We need, maybe you want a change to get closer to the church. Or maybe you need maybe your house doesn't work for you. You've had two kids since you moved in or something. Something. So all of this works, and it's not, you're not being, trying to explain this, you're not being infantile. You're not being a thumb sucker to use it for personal reasons. But you'll find out the more you gravitate. Now, in that hour that I spend, there's a lot of it for the bigness of revival, finances for the church, all kinds of things that takes me outside of just my world. So, and that's where we want to go to the next scripture is in... Luke chapter 11. So we may say some things out of Mark, but we might not read out of Mark, but we've read out of Mark, and we know that's speaking to the mountain. So go to Luke chapter 11. Hallelujah. So again, we'll look here and I'll direct you to which verses, but Mark 11 is legitimate faith, and it can be mature faith. I don't want to say it's, you can mature that faith, and sometimes it'll be used for personal reasons. But Christianity, or the church, much of the church has learned, and I'm talking about good people, they may not go to this type of church, but they've learned the truth of Mark 11, 23 and 24, whosoever shall say, let's remember, say to this mountain, be thou removed. What mountain? Not, he wasn't talking about a literal mountain. It could be. I mean, I guess you could. But that mountain in your life, your finances, your emotions, you know, all on and on and on, your physical body. And that's, you know, I've got some mountains. I'm really healthy. I'm very, very healthy. I can do a lot of things, still, you know, enjoy working out. But there are some things that needs to be changed. Well, that's a mountain. That's part of that hour that I spend. I'm speaking to my body, and I'm talking to my body, and I'm speaking to it. I'm not going to tell you what I say, but I'm speaking directly to it, and it's changing. Hallelujah. So Mark 11 is a legitimate. I just want to continue to underscore that. It's a legitimate, approved of God, spoken by Jesus, faith. But you can have a Mark 11 faith, or disposition of teaching, like you have that foundation, you can believe that you can speak to the mountain and do that and watch it change. But as I said, as you grow in Christ, you'll find a gravitation. It's not like you'll never forsake the personal side of it, because the Holy Spirit, oh, I love this about the Holy Spirit. Don't ever get so flighty. I don't know if that's a word. Don't get so heady and high-minded, like everything's and he's just let's talk. No, let's keep, we can't talk about, you know, that's let's just keep it big stuff, you know, the outpouring and the harvest. And you know, the Holy Spirit, the making of the man or the making of the woman is grassroots. It's your character. And the Holy Spirit, he is so involved in your character and your personal needs. There's nothing that you can't say to him that flabbergasts him. I don't know if that's that, like, oh God, I'm God. You shocked my world. I can't believe you said this to me in intimacy. You were worshiping me. No, I shouldn't talk like that as the Holy Spirit. But that's how some people think. Like, you should always be like, hot, you know, oh God, you're so holy, and he is holy. But I want to tell you that I'm having this problem over here, and it's this and this and this. And he's like, so? I created you. I created human beings. So if you can't get down or can't believe that he gets down and sits there with you and talks with you, you know, this is why so many, and I don't want to put myself up, but this is why so many ministers are one way behind this pulpit, and they've got flair, and they've got drop mic phrases, and everybody, wow, yeah, man, and the goosebumps are not Holy Ghost, but they're just like, you know, excitement, and they're like, man, I got my pastor, he's cool, he's woke, he's, you know, man, he's got all the catchphrases and stuff. And they're a jerk at home. And they're a jerk in the presence of God in the sense of who they are in character. Because they don't deal with the grass root stuff. I'd rather not be, I don't know what you think of me. I'm glad you're here. You guys evidently think I'm kind of okay. But I'm not like high cool or, you know, or running and shouting. And sometimes I get pretty excited. But I don't have that many drop mic phrases or like, wow, this was a... But what can you live by when you leave here? That's the main thing. I love my wife. Faithful to her. Faithful physically and in here and in here. And that's what makes all the difference. Because the Holy Spirit will come. And Jesus sits on my couch. And I'm so thankful for that. If Jesus sits on your couch, and he'll sit on all of your couches. And I'm not talking about necessarily physically, but spiritually. You can see him, feel him. Then all those grassroots places of your life, they make sense. God comes and strengthens you. And then speaking to the mountain comes to a place where not only are you changing your world, but then you start changing and going to the place where we look at here in Luke chapter 11. Because Luke chapter 11, although it's Mark 11 is perfect. Luke chapter 11 is this. You can be a Christian, love God, not necessarily, you're not involved in sin, but you can live your whole life in a Mark chapter 11, speaking to the mountain that you may have been taught by all the prosperity, and I don't want to be mean, all the prosperity teachers, and 90% of what they have to say, many of them, is really good. But you can use all of that in Mark 11 and it'll work, but never become a Luke 11. Because Jesus, though Mark 11 is perfect, and we've got to have it, and I practice it every Monday and all through my life. Something's coming on me. Stuff comes on me just like it does you at times, like sickness, sore throat, cold, flu, fever, whatever. I mean, my body, this body's not immortal yet. But immediately, like on the onset, I begin to speak. I begin to say, and I begin to say, and if I wake up in the night, I say, I say, I say. I may take an Advil, but I say, I continue to say. So Mark 11 works, and I come out of most stuff real quick. I mean, real, real quick. And it works, so I want to underscore. But you can be a Mark 11 believer, in other words, that practicing in your life, but you also... To be a revivalist, to be a true revivalist, you have to also be part of Luke 11 as well. What's Luke 11? Let's look at Luke 11 for just a moment. And there's so much to teach here, but let me just start. And again, I'm just exhorting mostly. Well, we'll just start in verse 1. It'd be quicker for me to read than to try to explain. And it came to pass, Luke 11, verse 1, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day, give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt, our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Because that's what is typically called the Lord's Prayer, and we're not teaching on that. And he said unto them, but it's all in this format of prayer. The question was, teach us to pray. So he's still teaching on prayer. He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey, what journey? The journey of life, you might say, has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity or his consistency, he will rise and give him as much as he needeth. Now this is classic. And I say, on the heels of that parable or that teaching, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find this. Did you see anything in there remotely close in that, those friends to do with cars and houses and lands and this? Absolutely not. But it's often taught, ask. Let's keep it in context. And it shall be given. Ask for what? The friend. Seek for what? The friend. Knock for what? The friend. Everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give for and if he ask or if he ask for ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Okay, we'll close. We're not closing, but we'll stop reading right there. So Mark 11 is this. Legitimate. Perfect. You've got to have this in your library of faith. You've got to have Mark 11. You're speaking to the mountain. And Mark 11 can transition into speaking into existence a revival. So the maturity of Mark 11 is speaking into existence things for other people. So Mark 11's not an immature position. It's just the immaturity of people that never develop Mark 11 to a place of speaking to the mountain for other people and for worldwide revival and the harvest and those kinds of things. But there's nothing that isolates, as far as in faith, the disposition of revival. And that's what we're all here for, right? And that's what you're here for. And I'm including and saying right, whether you are or not, because I'm gonna draft you. I'm gonna say you're all revivalists. But Luke 11 is this, that three friends are involved here. One friend comes, and you know this is all a parable. But one friend comes to another friend at midnight. Why would he say midnight? Because it's the crisis. It's the midnight of their life. Now, we could use this as an individual, a friend, but it could be your family, your sons, your daughters, for us collectively, and much bigger, Immokalee has come to us. This region has come to us. They haven't physically knocked on our door, but they're dying and going to hell. Their families are a mess. They're messed up. They're drugged up. They're diseased up. They're running the course. They're trying to find, you know, sex has run its they're done with that. I mean, they're miserable. The end of everything really is just live a miserable life. Once you've tried everything, it's just live a miserable life. If you don't take your life, you don't have a life. Very few people ever really end it that way, but they just live as zombies. Once they've done everything, they just live. They're empty. They're shells. And you're running into millions of people, and most of you are working around people if you're out there in the world. I don't care what they, you know, how much they joke or laugh or seem like they've got it. They may be worth millions of dollars, but they're shells on the inside. They're just nothing. They don't have any really, you know, they're just living. The only thing if they're making money, that's the only thing that's kind of their deal. If they've got kids, they're, you know, you can love and not be born again. They love their kids. They may love their family, but still they're shells on the inside. They're empty. So the bigger part of the friend coming is, of course, to us is the friend at midnight. The one that's coming to us and saying, whether they're saying it or not, lend me three loaves, you know, or I need help. The middle friend is you and I. That's the intercessor. That's the one that's going to someone that is bigger than themselves and has the wherewithal to meet the need of the one that came. And who is that? That's obviously God. Because the end of that is, whatever you ask, you'll receive. Whatever you seek, you'll find. Whoever knocks, it shall be given. The asking, the seeking, and the knocking, that's not the speaking to the mountain as in market. Listen, here's the thing. You have to understand this. This is us as intercessors going to him to receive this for them. And if we go to him for them in this 11, in this chapter 11, we receive something that they cannot of themselves. I said this at the conference, it bears repeating. I said, you know, when I see the Jude Hospital children, my heart breaks. Now, Mark 11, that's not going to work for them. Oh, it will work for them if you were able to sit down with their family and say, okay, are you born again? You'd have to make sure they got born again, and then Spirit-filled helps. And then I'm going to teach you Mark 11. Here, can you? It might take 20 teachings to really get over to them. Oh, I can change their... Yes, you can change their world, but how long is it going to take? Because a lot of you know this. You're speaking to mountains. I'm speaking to mountains. I'm seeing changes, but sometimes it seems like the mountain is going like one. Sometimes I've seen the mountain kind of move in dump truck loads. I was like, wow, that was really, I can see. Sometimes it just moves, it seems like, in a spoon. But I keep speaking. But Luke 11 is me going and receiving. See, here's, I started to say this. Lord brought it back up. Jesus never taught to the crowds that he was about to minister to and do those mass healings. Let me give you a Mark 11 teaching. First, I'm going to send you home. No, he had already, being the Son of God, being the Son of Man, which he lived out his life, he had already gone to the Father. And he delivered the bread. He delivered the bread because he went somewhere. Why did all those nights of prayer, all those days of prayer, was him going and getting the bread for the masses, not to teach the masses. Hey, I want to teach you today a truth, and I want to say this very respectful because Mark 11 works. You speaking to the mountain. He didn't teach them. I want to teach all of you to speak to the mountain on those mass crusades. He didn't teach Mark 11. He taught. He demonstrated Luke 11. He demonstrated that he had already gone as the intercessor friend. And what did the intercessor say into this? He went to a friend at midnight. What midnight? The midnight. The region you and I live in has come to us at midnight. The woke being destroyed, not just politically, but morally, America of 2024, and God help if we go into another 4 years like this. And I don't know. I mean, we might. It's possible. And it gets worse. But listen, we're going to have a revival no matter what. Because we have to have Luke 11 people pause, push the pause button a little bit. Or much as, I mean, push the pause button and say, I'm going to keep doing Luke, Mark 11, speaking, but I've got to go in. Because what did he say? He went to the friend that could supply and say, he said this, three friends, one comes in the midnight and the other one goes because he says, I have nothing. He goes to the friend that will supply. Who's the supply? God. How much more at the end of this chapter, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit? Now, when he says the Holy Spirit, this isn't the Holy Spirit as in praying in tongues. This is the Holy Spirit as empowering you to go back with the three loaves because he said, I have nothing to set before him. Well, the emphasis should be there on nothing. Because unless you live in a third world country or you're just, and I don't know anybody like hardly in America that lives in a home, unless you're somewhere on the street, if somebody actually came to your home, if you're well enough to have a home, there's no, it's almost impossible for us to relate. Now it might be in a third world country, but it's almost impossible to say I have nothing. You'd have something. You'd have a can of tuna or, you know, something. But he goes and says, I have nothing. Well, that's us. There's nothing about me. There's nothing about you. That's humbling ourselves. That's saying, I have nothing, Father, to set before them. See, this is the revivalist. This is where you can be a Mark 11 Christian and be blessed and do well. See, all my grandkids, thank God, they're all intelligent. They can all walk straight. Their brains are real good. Their bodies are real good. I thank God for that. But I could sit in, I don't want to condemn, because these are all blessings of God. This is not a, I'm thankful for that. I live in a nice house. You know, I'm not a millionaire, but we're blessed. But I could live in my little world and say, because my world's really kind of good, I could just say, I'm a Mark 11, praise God. I'm just going to keep Monday morning, tomorrow morning, I'll do my confessions and speak over my world and create my world. But then the biggest part of my life right now is Luke 11, because I'm going before him, and it's not always just crying out, God, give us revival, heal the little kids, heal the little... No, that's it. Any moment that you trade... any moment that you trade praying in tongues and just offering your body a living sacrifice, or for God's sake, push back for a day, meals, or even one meal, and you unselfishly are saying, I'm detaching myself, you are going to the friend. Because a friend has come to you, say, I know, I don't know any. No, they are. The world's crying out, I'm desperate. Help me. My kids are desperate. Help me. And I could just turn a, you know, because you can turn a deaf, I know they're there, but God bless them, they're there. But I'm just going to stay in my world because all my kids are smart and they're healthy. And my son-in-laws and my daughter, and they're good providers, and you know, our world's really good, and that is a blessing from God. God's happy with that. He wants to bless you. But if that's my world, I've failed. I mean, when I stand before Him, I'm like, I'm not wanting to stand there. Because if I don't live a big portion of my life, and I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on anybody, I'm just saying gravitate also to Luke 11, because that is the person who says, okay, I'm going to give a portion of my life, because my life might be having some difficulties in some places. I'm speaking to it, Mark 11. But I'm going to go to Luke 11 as well, because I really have nothing to set before them. Oh, yeah, you can tell them about Jesus heals. My pastor, he loves God. Why don't you come to... No, we're past that. I'll pray for them, and I'm thankful for anybody that ever says, you know, my pastor, he loves God, and he'll pray for you. You now, this is Joel's army. You have to go to a place where you say, I have nothing, Father, to set before them. And that's not a lie. You may know things, and you may have Holy Ghost in you and all good, but in and of yourself, you can't do this. And you just plead with God, and you may not say these words, but any 1 hour or any 30 minutes that you spend speaking in tongues is, in essence, you going to Luke 11 and saying, the friend has come to me, the world has come to me at midnight. I don't have anything to give them. In other words, I can't heal their body. I can't get their kid. I can't get cancer off of them. I can't get, and here's the thing. Jesus demonstrated, I mean, he did a few times in synagogues, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, but 99% of everything he did was in the world, is out there. The gifts can be used in church, and the gifts are all right there. You can read them later. 1 Corinthians 12, 9 gifts of the Spirit. But when you're asking God, when you're going to the friend at midnight, you're asking God, whether you say it in words or not, you're saying, I need the Holy Ghost. I might not never teach a sermon. I might not never preach. But somebody that at my work, or somebody in my world, whether you work or not outside the home, somebody in my world is, you're going to send somebody to me. And I need the Holy Ghost. This isn't about this. I'm going to continue my life of Mark 11, speaking to my world, changing my world, because everybody needs, and it's a legitimate. But I'm going to step over here into Luke 11, and I'm going to say, I've got to go to this friend that I have, because the world doesn't have that. And you can't teach them Jude Hospital babies. You know, that, you know, if you're a lot of faith preachers have done real good, and they said, my world's real good, making a bunch of money. Let me teach you Mark 11, 23 and 24. That's perfect. But dear sir, Mark 11, 23 and 24 is not going to work on these mass crowds. They're not born again. Jesus didn't do it that way. He went in the midnight to the Father, got the bread, and when he delivered it, it wasn't bread. Okay, here's bread. You take this bread, go home, and start speaking. He healed them now. He got them healed now. So the bread that we're going to ask him for is Holy Ghost bread. Well, how does Holy Ghost bread come out? It bakes out like this. Words of wisdom. Gifts of healings. Workings of miracles. Discerning of spirits. Tongues, interpretation. Now that might be best around believers. You're not going to do that to your sinner friends, because they're not going to understand you. Discerning of spirits, working of all these things, all these nine gifts, maybe except two, are going to come out in your workplace. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom. You're going to give them, and they're going to think, wow, But that's the bread. That's the Holy Ghost bread. And then at times you're going to get a chance to just silently pray with them, maybe. And they're going to feel something. They're going to know something. See, that's stepping out of Mark 11 over into Luke 11, because you've prayed in bread. You've personally went to a place where bread has been given to you and it's inside of you. And that bread inside of you is to deliver to the nations, to the world, to the people. That's growing up. Boy, that's growing up. That's not living in. See, I could live in Mark 11 and say, I'm grown up. And you could be moving mountains. But how about taking over here and going getting some bread for people? The reason why Jesus taught Mark. Did Jesus not teach Mark 11? But he didn't teach Mark 11 to the masses that he healed that day. In that sense, the word, like, I'm going to, or he didn't pray for them and say, go home and start confessing. Bam. Now it happened. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when they come in and they're sick, and when the corporate setting, now I'm taking your world that you live in, and I'm closing. When they come in to this corporate setting, and they're sick and they're diseased and they're in wheelchairs in the revival, the miracle services, we may go on to teach them to grow up and build their own faith. But when we meet them, we don't meet them with, hi, I'd like to teach you Mark 11. It's, hello, I've got Luke 11 to demonstrate to you and give to you. Because I am the friend that you've come to. I've went to another friend. I told him humbly, I have nothing, and he supplied the bread for you. Good morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Appreciate that, Father. All the glory to God. Let's pause with me in a word of prayer. Father, we love you. And we acknowledge that we can do nothing in and of ourselves. But we know this, that you've called us all under the sound of my voice to demonstrate your glory in the earth in these last days. If you're watching this morning and you hear these words and you are not born again, whether in this place or watching, the simplicity of it is to say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins and wash me in your blood. And that will take place immediately when you say those words out of your heart. Father, we worship you. We speak for these revivalists that have heard these words this morning, both in this house and through the internet. May you remind us, because sometimes it's necessary to be reminded to steal away some time, to divide that time for speaking to the mountain, but also just to sit in your presence and say, Lord, these next 15, 20, 30 minutes is just praying, believing that bread is being downloaded in my spirit, that the gifts of the Spirit are there for the purpose of the harvest of the nations. We love you, Holy Ghost. We love you, Heavenly Father. And we thank you, Jesus, for being a part of this service. And we bless your people in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. We love you. No church tonight. Blessings to all of you.